Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and hey, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is R.D. Bill Holton, and I'm also having another beautiful day, another beautiful, beautiful, boo, B-O-O, full day in my consciousness, because in case you guys don't know, and I don't think you do, I have just started ghostwriting again, so my nickname is Boo.
I'm glad you explained that, because I'm still back on Buddha.
I know.
On Boo, and then I was wondering, isn't he getting to the Halloween thing a little early?
I know.
And Starbucks is rushing it with the pumpkin spice lattes.
And when I'm between ghostwriting projects, it's a Boo-hoo day.
Oh, yeah, right? Because
you're between projects.
Got it. Oh, my gosh.
And when you mess up, it's a boo-boo day.
Boo-boo day.
Getting back to business, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. And as I've said before, we also give you a shortcut to us. It's a sunny shortcut and a very beautiful shortcut called yourspiritualpractice.com.
All right. And if you want to check out the ghostwriting and partner publishing that we've started doing, go to writersitch.com.
Writersitch.com. Yeah. I think that's a great name. And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, my doings, where I'm going, as well as the absolute word. And remember, you can sign up for that email list. Are you guys ready? I certainly am.
We are ready to roll. We're ready to build souls.
All right. So we're continuing with the law of soul building. We sure gotten on a tangent and wonderful exploration last time. And then we're going to pivot at the middle of the program. And we're continuing to look at Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And it's always Cher's choice. She's the curator. We're doing Zen There's You, T-H-R-E, Zen There's You, and Cher's going to be going back through the book to see if there's any other topics, because this is the last one, and so she's going to go back through, since she's our curator, just to make sure isn't some topic that we skipped. So I'm ready to rock, so let's get going.
All righty, we're going to pick up with Charles Fillmore from Prosperity as he's talking about soul building, and the first paragraph we did last time, but we didn't get a definition, so he discerns more about it in this next paragraph. So he starts up saying, a very important work in soul culture, which is an interesting term, I like that term, soul culture, is the establishment of a faith substance. Once we discern this law of soul building by faith, we find the Hebrew scriptures full of illustrations of it. The first chapter of Luke's gospel, which is not part of the Hebrew scripture, might I add.
Yeah, that's true, right?
He made it sound like he was going to give an example from the Old Testament. But yeah. Anyway, the first chapter of Luke's gospel tells us how Elizabeth and Zacharias were told by an angel that they would have a son and that his name would be John. Zacharias was burning incense at the altar in the exercise of his duties as a priest. This means that when the mind is looking towards spirit, even if it be in a blind way, and is seeking spiritual things, it will become spiritualized. The burning of incense typifies spiritualization. Zacharias represents the perceptive and Elizabeth the receptive qualities of the soul. When these two work in conjunction in prayer, meditation, and aspiration, the soul is open to the higher thoughts or angels that bring the promise of a new and definite state of consciousness.
Oh my gosh, I feel like you should stop there.
Yeah, there's a lot there already.
You're needing to take a breath anyway, and it's like, where is this man going? Are you having that sense?
Yeah, well, I guess he's interpreting, meta-spiritually, or metaphysically in his case, interpreting that story.
Yes, he is.
But
again, like you said, it's not the Hebrew scriptures. And I found this word very interesting. When these two work in conjunction in prayer, meditation, and aspiration. Mm-hmm. Of course, aspiration has two weird, I mean, they're weird. I don't know if we call them opposites, but there's aspiration when you're aspiring to be better, right?
Yes, yes.
But also being somewhat still related to a medical field, aspiration is when you draw out something.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing that he said that. And I don't know, Bill, do you have anything to add, Cher?
This is an interesting concept because we've been talking about this some in our conversations online with our members of the order and at our cafe also, is the soul is open to the higher thoughts or angels that bring the promise of a new and definite state of consciousness. Is he saying that our higher thoughts, that's what angels represent? Or is he saying our higher self and other beings that are here to help guide us, provide us with inspiration that we can tap into?
Well, I'm assuming he's metaphysically interpreting what an angel is. Because angels metaphysically represent higher thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought he meant. But, you could take it either way.
Yeah. And, I mean, we've all encountered many people who believe in angels and see angels. I haven't, that I'm aware of. I'd like to, if they exist. So if there's any angels listening, please tune in. And you can't deny someone's experience.
No, you can't. And I do believe that there are adepts that are available that we can access through our meditation. And I don't know, the whole concept of guardian angel, sometimes you just think it must exist because there's been cases where some close calls have been so obviously, it's like somebody, like some unseen thing actually intervened.
Yeah, so I do think there are interdimensional beings, and it could be people who we've known and passed the other side and all that sort of thing. So we got to remain open to all of that.
I'm also curious too about the metaphysical definitions he's given to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They're from purely, really, when you think about it, not just them, but other examples of male-femaleness, if you will, where the male is pitched at being more cognitive and the female is pitched at being more emotive. And that's what this represents here. And all that stems from a traditional New Thought perspective. And as you know, and others who have heard share in my programs before, we've really moved beyond that differentiation because both men and women have both those qualities within them.
Yeah, he's going there in a way, but he's going to that other way too, where Zacharias is said to be perceptive and Elizabeth is receptive. And that's kind of a reference to our functions as sexual beings in a way. And so so you never know where Charles is going to go,
And I think the main thing here is that whatever it represents what's happening within us.
Right.
So not an out there them. It's within us. We have perceptive and receptive qualities. We have the intuitive and the cognitive, and we have all of that operating within us, and they have to work together or we run into problems.
Absolutely. And that is the best place to turn to the rest of the story. That was well. Okay. So maybe you should start at when these two work together.
When these two work together in conjunction with our work in conjunction with prayer, meditation, and aspiration, the soul is open to the higher thoughts or angels that bring the promise of a new and definite state of consciousness. Zacharias doubted the promise of a son because his wife was past the age of childbearing. And because of his doubts, he was stricken dumb. This means that when we perceive spiritual truth and doubt it, we retard its outer expression. It cannot be spoken into manifestation through us because of our doubt. That's interesting. I want to stop there because I think that's an interesting thought.
It is.
It's not that something out there is blocking it. It's we are blocking it ourselves with our own doubt.
Absolutely. And this is a very curious thing that he's gone a little bit literal here. So he is stricken dumb. and it cannot be spoken into manifestation. And this relates to Charles's emphasis sometimes on the power of the spoken word. Mm-hmm. And maybe points to why affirmations really ought to be spoken outward and not just to oneself.
Yeah, good point.
And anybody who's been to Unity Village and gone into that, what's the name of that area where all of those affirmations are up around the wall and you stand in the middle and proclaim it and it creates that echo?
That echo, yeah. The Hall of Shining Words.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was called, but I remember the experience of being there and saying affirmations when you stand in the center. So
I always also want to add to this, related to doubt and expression or manifestation. In my opinion, this is the BS belief system of Bill Holton. Any negativity, whether it's doubt, anger, fear, resentment, puts a governor on what we can manifest.
Yes.
Blocks it, if you will. Just like the governor on a vehicle can only go so fast with the governor on it.
Yeah.
I think these negative feelings and outlooks block our manifestation in the same way.
Yeah, and so the common word would be it's a limiter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a limiter. Yep.
And so when we're not manifesting the way we think we expect, that's the first thing to look at is what emotions do I have within me that are fighting with that manifestation process?
That's really good.
Okay. All the growth. So he's saying that Zacharias doubted this, and so he was struck dumb. Well, all the growth is then thrown upon the soul. Elizabeth hid herself 5 months, but when the soul begins to feel the presence of the new ego or new state of consciousness, then we again come into faith expression. The speech of Zacharias is restored.
Wow, so this is really interesting because it says when the soul begins to feel the presence. And we got to stop and remember that Charles defined soul as ego.
Mm-hmm.
So when Elizabeth's soul began to feel the presence of this new ego or this new soul or state of consciousness, then we again come into faith expression. It's really interesting, and it makes it sound like things can still go forward with just that one aspect of ourselves working.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And what's interesting about Elizabeth hid herself 5 months, meta-spiritually, five, in this case, stands for the five main physical senses. So when we don't depend on those and go inside within us, then that's when we connect and elevate our consciousness.
Yes. So in a sense, she stopped relying on her sense consciousness. Is that
on the outer senses, on the physical senses? She stopped relying on those.
Yes. Yes. Good. So we're in agreement. How would we
summarize? You shouldn't sound surprised about that.
So it's like what's the takeaway here for the law of soul building that we need to have our Zacharias and Elizabeth balanced in some way for optimal growth? And even if our Zacharias is inhibited in some way, our soul growth can still continue. The growth of our personality can.
Right. Yep. And that's when it's so important to use our prayer and meditation and affirmation and release, because those are the things when she hid herself, I'm sure those were the things that were allowing that new ego or new state of consciousness to grow.
And that new ego or new state of consciousness is inferred to be John, which would be love, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
So we'd be growing a love consciousness.
Something else I'd like to add, too, about the five physical senses. Number one, for our listeners, Google, if you will, the number of physical senses in the human body, because what you'll come up with is about 33 physical senses, not just the five. And the five aren't really the main physical senses. They were always thought to be that way. There are 33 main physical senses in that regard. Also, the five here, if you extend it to the New Testament, the five wounds of the Christ as Jesus when he suffered the crucifixion, you could also say that if we mishandle or misapply our quote-unquote five physical senses, they too can be five wounds.
Yes. So what we're really talking about is our five gross senses in a way, where the other ones are finer in nature. And we're discovering that even ones of those have different dimensions. Just this morning, I was watching a news program where there's a woman who can smell Parkinson's disease in people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fantastic.
So that was on the Today Show today. Everybody wants to look that up. And today would be August 29th. So it was really fascinating. Yep. And we got running, and we really need to pivot Bill's book. So let's turn to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, and we're doing Zen, There's You.
And as we begin this pivot, this might be a good time to give a little teaser. This is just a teaser at this point, but it is definite that you want to save the date of May 1st through 3rd, because we are going to be doing another retreat.
Yes, May 1st through 3rd, 2020. Yeah, we're going to see.
If you're listening to this after 2020, sorry, you missed it.
So look for the next one.
Right. We'll be doing it again, but we're excited about it, and more information will be coming out, but stay tuned. We're excited.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So
Zen, There's You.
Bill's book. Yes. And this is the book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. We are on page 209, and it's Zen, Z-E-N, There's You. And here's what he says. The only Zen you find on silent retreats, meditation experiences, vision quests, mountaintop experiences, and Om Pod sessions is the Zen you bring with you. It's better to be Zenful than sinful, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Of course, it's better to be Zenful.
Yeah. And I love that, the beginning of that first paragraph, because it reminds us that no matter where we go, we will never find what we're looking for unless we have it within.
Yeah, it's only within.
So we don't have to really go anywhere.
We do not.
Okay. To practice Zen and the art of improved Christian motorcycle maintenance, you probably changed that word now and say spiritual, do the following. All owner's manuals feature a chart listing the maintenance tasks which describe what needs to be done. Typically, these tasks are identified with the letters I, C, R, A, and L, which respectively stand for inspect, clean, replace, adjust, and lubricate.
Didn't know that.
Would you like to talk a little
more
about
that? Well, just anyone who is a good auto mechanic and or motorcycle mechanic knows that you've got to do those things you got to do.
Right. So how do they relate to us, to Zen?
That's what's coming up.
You do talk about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. In spiritual growth terms, that means you must inspect your current understanding of your true spiritual, not religious nature. Clean up your language by deleting any reference to any type of anthropomorphic God out there. Replace all dogma with a more metaphysical and scientific mindset. Adjust your human personality to be more in alignment, oneing with your higher spiritual self, and lubricate your body with natural anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and antimicrobial healing oils and moisturizers instead of chemical-laden products.
I was wondering how you're going to use that lubricate. Oh, that's a really good summary of how we should frame our moving forward, right? Yeah, inspect,
yeah, for sure.
Clean, replace, adjust, and lubricate. Yes, indeed.
And lubricate could also be making sure your spiritual practices are in place so you keep yourself operating and functioning smoothly, that you're not getting rusty.
Yeah, it could be seen as prayer as a type of spiritual lubricant.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
It could also be seen as moisturizing, if you will, a literal only interpretation of scripture with a more allegorical, metaphysical interpretation of scripture.
Yeah, in that case, it might be a full baptism.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
I'd say one more thing about that, how important preventative maintenance is. Like, don't wait till something's broken to begin to do the maintenance. If you do the preventative maintenance, I'm reminded of when I worked at Westinghouse, there was a fight between the two shifts very often. The first shift would overwork machinery and leave it for the night shift to have to do the repair. And they always got so upset because it's like, if you'd have done the little bit of PM in the afternoon, we would have been functioning smoothly 24 hours, but yep. Now you left us with a bigger job because you didn't do the preventative maintenance.
Yes, indeed.
Do the same thing.
We got to do it, and we got to remember a form of insanity is stopping doing what you know already works. And so, you know, things you work, so don't stop doing it. Keep going.
That's right. And that's usually what's happened. And let me wrap this up with Bill's last little quote here. It's okay if you want to be a little zen in your texting or in your emails. Just avoid any attachments.
There we go. Avoid those attachments. Zen. All right. We're pivoting now to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Uni publication and has been used with permission. And this one comes from Sunday, September 1st, 2019. The words are abundant living. I live joyously and abundantly. Living abundantly means living in gratitude without fear or limitation. I live in the awareness of my divine nature as I express light, which is spiritual understanding, life, love, and peace. In a spirit of gratitude, I notice the blessings in my life every day. I give thanks for each one, large or small. I have all I need. With divine principle as my resource, I have unlimited resources that I can summon from within at any time. I use these resources in specific ways. I see beyond negative appearances to the truth of my beingness. I am whole, complete, and able. My relationships are harmonious. My life is in order. I have enough to use and share. For these truths, I breathe in a prayer of thanks. The principle of abundance is all around me and is me. I live joyously and abundantly. And so it is. And thank you, friends, for listening. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you. We've been delighted to be here today, and we look forward to the next one.
Yes, we do.
Until the next time. Bye, everybody.